Let the church say amen. Amen. It's good to see you this morning. Are you feeling good?
Yes.
Usually when I come up here, I act like a fool. And I promised my youngest grandson, who punched me in the eye this week, that Poppy wouldn't be acting like a nut in the pulpit today. He's only 11 months old. And I almost forgot how old he was when he hit me in the eye. So I'm just kind of waiting till he gets 18. And I'm going to do like my mother used to do us. Hey, choir. I'm going to do like my mother used to do us. She slap us and we say, what was that for? She said, that's for the stuff I didn't catch. So I'm going to say a selfie. I'm going to take a picture of my eye. And after I finish with it, I'm going to show him that's what you did to me 18 years ago. But thank God for Shiloh. Because I know that there's healing in this place. I know that there's praise in this place. And so I'm at home. He don't know. And Reverend Armstrong called me yesterday. I was locked up with this little boy for 5 days. I didn't even leave my house. When he called me, I said, thank you, Jesus. I can get out of Maryland, and I can get back home to New Jersey. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to thank the young man that we have to, really, with our youth, thank you for what you're doing in service. We can't forget him. I want to thank Reverend and Mrs. Armstrong for the invitation of coming. When they call, I come. And that's what's important about being a servant of the Lord, because this church is blessed. It's been blessed. Reverend Betty, she's back there. And I'm seeing everybody. I see you, Dean Cullen. I just see so many of y'all got scattered. Every time I come in here, I'm not sure if this church is part of makeover, because they change from one place to another. I don't know where I got to sit. So they move us over here now. So anyway, I'm going to try to get through this because I know it's the summer. And all of you want to get out of here, you want to hear me all day. And I'll get back on the road and drive back to Maryland. But I want to thank Reverend Armstrong. I want to thank you, Reverend Dr. Holloway. It's good to see people that you know in the Lord. The deacons, even Deacon Poole prayed for us before he left. But the deacons and all the officers that are here, other officers, stewards, trusts, whatever you have, the doorkeepers, the organists, the musician, I saw the dancers. There's everybody that I know that have kept Trenton and this whole area going for a long time, Shiloh. It's not time to give up now. This is a time where we need what you do. And that's why I came here, to be blessed. Don't get it wrong. I only get touched by the people of God that I'm supposed to serve. And so what I want to do, and saying all my greetings and everything, I see all the faces. I have to do that here, Trey. And see you too, all of y'all. You know who I am. I see some new faces over here. But I thank you. And all the children. There are a lot of children that I'm seeing in here. We thank God for the children. Let's not lose them. That's very important for our future. We thank God for the children. Now, I'm supposed to read a text with this bad eye, and the devil's trying to get in the other eye. And so I'm going to try to, y'all pray much for old good eyes up here. But before I do that, I don't mean I'm going to come down here, because anyway, I'm still in church, but I don't want to lie to my grandson, but I'm going to have to on this case. Can you play Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus, sir? Thank you. I think we're going to go real quick with that, and then I'm going to go up, because I got to... And I hope the Spirit will kick me on. And just clap your hands. If you came down, if you need to be lifted up, if you got stuff going on in your family, you're going to have to know about the name of Jesus. If you believe in the word of life, if you believe in the word of God, that will pick you up when you're going down. You got to know about Jesus this morning. And I'm so glad that you come. God bless you, darling. Do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Can't nobody.
Nobody.
Do me like Jesus.
Oh,
can't nobody. Do me like the Lord. Can't
nobody.
Do me like Jesus. He's
my friend.
Pick me up. Pick me up.
Turn me around.
Turn me around. Because he
is my friend.
Can't nobody.
Can't nobody.
Do me like Jesus.
Do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody.
Can't nobody.
Do me like the Lord.
Do me like the Lord.
Can't nobody.
Nobody.
Do me like Jesus. For today, maybe I better pray before I read it. God, we thank you for grace and mercy this morning. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Spirit in this place. God, move me out of the way and touch somebody's life today, Lord. Whatever they brought in, we pray that it'll be something different that they take out. And when they take it, God, in the name of Jesus, let them know that they have to touch somebody else's life. It's not about this old building. It's about the people that are living in buildings, maybe without no air, no heat. It's about people that are living in buildings, maybe with no water, no place to sleep. But God, we pray that you're blessed whatever happens in here today. In the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Our message is coming today from Philippians. Let me put my specs on. It's going to be 2 Philippians 1 through 16. And I'll try to read this pretty quickly in your hearing. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, this is from Paul, any consideration from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself instead, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. Say, above every name.
Above every name.
Okay, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue, everybody say every tongue, should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Say, Jesus, you are my Lord today. To the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, Shiloh, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life, say word of life, that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
You may have your seat. Thank you, God. Today's topic, and I got to see how I can fit. This is kind of fat. All right, there you go. You got to squeeze. Am I back connected? That's the thing with technology, we got to connect. But I got another God that connect me, because I get in a fight with my GPS everywhere I go. She don't even know what she's talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. We just disconnect. Let me go quickly, and I'm going to look at the hour there as fast as I can. Our sermon title today is called The Mention of His Name. Everybody say that. The Mention of His Name. Now, how many of y'all ever call somebody a name? Okay, I mean by their name. How many of you ever call somebody a name? And one of the words that we use, a lot of mothers in the church, is that mother is one of the frequently used names in the world. It's the most frequently used in 21 different languages, and it can be used almost at least 41 different ways. In English alone, it can be five ways: mom, mummy, mother, mama, mom. Y'all heard them all. In Albania, five, Chinese, three, and for the other ones, I don't really know. But once people get started using the word mama, that name, okay, it seems like they can't stop themselves from calling out the name mama. Y'all seen it, right? They call you out all day. Mama, give me this. Mama, give me that. Mama, you don't have that. Did you bring me this? Did you fix that? We've all said that to mama or somewhere. We've done it with dad, too, but I'm just talking about mama now, because that's a powerful name right there, okay? And they screaming and pulling all on your arms. That little boy knew I want his mama. I decided to grow a beard, and I think on the first 4 days, we had love day. On that fifth day, I don't know what it was, I think he woke up and said, who is this old man with all this gray hair around here they left me with? And he started punching. But I think for Mother's Day is the second, as y'all know, largest day of gift giving in the whole country. And one of the things is that, you know, because people call you long distance lady on Mother's Day for free, but they hope they can reverse the charges if they got to pay only you. And so you got that, restaurants. And one of the big things that I want to focus on today about names is that apart from card giving, which is about 79% of people give cards on Mother's Day, is the second gift is flowers. Now, while mother's name and the mention of that name is very powerful, there are some things in life, have you ever noticed, that may have a meaning, like a rose, which might mean red, while there are words like we say, aw, shucks, that don't have any meaning at all. Now, y'all know we got some things that have meaning, some don't. But if you think about flowers, I did this little research on the types of flowers, and I wanted the ladies to know this so you can know what you're getting. Do y'all know what y'all getting sometimes when people give you flowers? Especially your boo, your husband, your whatever you want to call them these days. I'm in the game too. I don't cut me out now. But let me tell you something. When they're giving you a flower, you got to know what it means, because they're telling you something about yourself. All right. Don't worry, brothers. I ain't gonna mess y'all little flower business up. But for example, everybody knows a rose means or stands for love, passion, and perfection. But did you know that a red carnation means my heart aches for you? Don't go crazy, ladies. Brothers, you might get a carnation. They pin them on your collar up in here. But it means my heart aches for you. And any carnation givers in the house today, they might be here. Now, but we should know that by now, that when a kid, though, comes to you like I used to do with my mother and say, I brung you something, and I bring her a hand of dead buttercups with some worms and dirt to get the lady to run out the house, she knew that that meant childishness, okay? Now, while a red chameleon from a brother girl means you're a flame in my heart. Y'all better take notes now, because I'm telling you, they're telling you something around here. The name is important. How many of you, y'all husband might have done like my dad did one time? He stopped on the side of the road, and we saw some cattails. Y'all know what a cattail is? It's an old dry flower that grows, and I don't even know why they call it a cattail, because it don't look like no cattail to me. And the thing will make you sneeze, everybody in the car starts sneaking. He told my mother that, you know, I bought this for you to put with your dry flower ring. But the thing about a cattail stand for peace. And so that meant my daddy had messed up somewhere. My mama went crazy. We knew what the man was doing when he got it on the flower ring. She knew better than that. Now, one time I gave my wife a cactus. And now it sounds a bit cold, but a cactus stands for endurance. But girls, let me tell y'all something. You better watch out when you see your man running in the house with a big old bush called a begonia. At the last minute, they'll come in with that begonia, and that means that you better beware. But think about the terms in it. It means, it's that two words, be gone. That's what it is. I'm just telling y'all, be careful now. They look beautiful. And the Lord, don't you ever take a striped carnation from any brother talking about how cute the stripes are in the carnation. See, those stripes are like giving you your final notice, because that flower means I can't be with you. Now, a marigold, everybody know where marigolds, y'all got them all around your house. That means affections. And it carries with it, you know, issues of cruelty, grief, jealousy. But you got to look at what happened with a marigold. See, they grow kind of wild. They'll show up anywhere. But a morning glory means he loves you. And an orange lily means he'll burn the midnight oil for you. And a daisy means he's innocent and pure in heart. But if you get a dahlia, know that the man is unstable. Now, a gardenia tells you you're lovely, while a pot of geraniums means he's cheap, and you must be crazy for having him. But a rose represents love and perfection, and white ones with red ones mixed together means I got nothing but love for you, baby. Because they represent what Paul is talking about today, unity of one mind and one thought. Now, when you're able to receive a rose, see, they can top it off with something called the lily of the valley flower. You've heard of that? Do you know what the lily of the valley means? It means you made. Everybody say it. You made.
Made.
Come on, say it like a minute. You made.
You made.
My life.
Complete.
Have you ever heard anybody say Jesus is the lily of the valley?
Yeah.
What do you think they were telling you? He's made their life complete. Now, after I had said all that about flowers, I find it kind of funny that we also run into words that don't have no meaning at all. And they're spelled kind of funny. And let me give you one, because y'all will see. When people say them, generally people get their drift of what they mean by them. Don't worry, I ain't cussing in here. I'm talking about real stuff in here. Now, for 61 years of my life, and maybe y'all can help me up here, I don't know, do any of y'all know what a so-and-so is? I don't know what it is, but I know my mother and all the ladies would say that about the men, saying, that's so-and-so. But I love him, though. They would use the words around the children, say, call him a so-and-so. And the only thing I ever find out, the only person react is the so-and-so. He get all mad and want to fight. He said, don't call me no so-and-so. And everybody would say, but do you know what I mean? I know what it means, but we don't know. But for him, you'll get a reaction in terms of what it said with that word. Another one that the children used to use, it's called a blankety blank. Now today, I don't know what the children use, but back when I grew up, they call you a blankety blank. I don't know what that means, but again, when it's said, you get this reaction. And the only people laughing are the people other than the blankety blank who's mad. And all I knew when I grew up, there were plenty of blankety blanks out there. And you know, and little kids, we start looking at how it is. But what I am saying, some folks may claim that Jesus is their lily of the valley. And many will tell you that he's their bright and morning star. While others will witness and say he's my rose of Sharon. Now, what do you know about the rose of Sharon? The truth is that nowhere in the New Testament is the name of Jesus actually referred to as the Rose of Sharon. Did you know that? But it's usually symbolically used at the mention of his name. Everybody say, at the mention of his name. By Christians everywhere. Why? Because, see, Sharon is one of the largest valley plains in Palestine. And during the time of Solomon, it was a wild, fertile place with beautiful with flowers. And it was known for beautiful flowers, and this metaphor of rose of Sharon and lily of the valley can be found in some of the Old Testament love songs of Solomon in 2:1, okay? And it may be attributed saying of a young Shulamite woman who apparently was Solomon's bride. But why do you hear people refer to this expression for Jesus at the mention of his name? In fact, back then, the rose of Sharon was not today what we call the hibiscus syriacus little flower. What it was, it was grown rather as a deep-toned tulip called a tulipa montana that grew up in the spring. And what you need to know about that at the time in Holland, when the tulip bulbs, for some reason, were worth a whole lot of money, people would fight over that stuff hand and fist. And they made a big mess over this flower. It was so costly that you could have. And the thing is, the question is, would you, if you think about Jesus as being your rose of Sharon, would you treat him the same way that he's all in all for you? See, how much is the name of Jesus worth to us? That's the question today. Would you give up all you have to get a hold of Jesus to pull you through? That's one of the questions of today. The fact is that he gave up his life for who? For us. He sacrificed his life. And the question is, what happens at the mention of his name in your life? Have you ever called on Jesus in your life? And when you think about it, what Paul is trying to say is that I'm going to give you the answer today of what that means. In verse 5, he's trying to tell the Philippians, Christians know that they must be humble people. That means it's not just about you. It's about the other person other than you. Now, when you look at verses 6 through 11, Paul uses materials from the early church. And that was a hymn that we have. Y'all don't mind me educating a little bit, do you? Just giving a little bit of background. That's the only reason I went to seminary. I want to know more. And the verses used as that part of the thing was a hymn in two stanzas. The first stanza is in 7 and 8, which talks about Christ's life, especially his death, but most of all, his obedience and humiliation as a slave to God. In other words, when people did crucifixion, that was the lowest thing that you could do to a person, okay? And he was divine, but he was human. And he had the power to seize on opportunity, but what did he do? He gave all honor to God. He moved his human will on the side, and he did the will of the Father. So one of the things this text is saying to us is that Jesus took on a slave or master servant attitude and followed the will of God. Okay? In other words, he's saying that he wasn't so high and mighty that he failed to serve the people of God. He gave his life, sacrificed his life for us and our salvation. And according to God's will, he did that. And he responded by saying, I'm a servant of God the Father. How many of us are a servant of God today? How many of us are servant leaders of God today? Here and in the streets, how many of has been obedient to God's will? Now in the 9 through 11 of this hymn, he makes a different change. What he's saying here, he's highlighting the status of the Lord as master. Now, why would he do that? How can he do that? Because of the resurrection. You see, the resurrection, what was happening here, is God did a different question. When he said, what should happen for us at the mention of his name? He's saying that because of Jesus' obedience and sacrifice to provide sinners the opportunity of salvation, God decided to lift the Savior up from the grave. And when he got up, church, he got up with all power. Everybody say all power. Over death and humanity. Whatever problem you have, God had in Jesus all power over death and humiliation and humanity. And Jesus' name, then at that point, is above all others who are roaming this earth. You get it? His name has been lifted up. And guess who do that? God set him apart when he put him on the cross to claim him. And then he's saying, by the power of the Spirit, when I raise them up, I want you as his disciples to rename him. You know what the renaming is? He's my God. He's my Lord. He's the Savior, all Savior. He claimed him through death, but the Spirit raised him so we can rename him. And he's saying, then, I am your Lord, and we need a relationship. I reign over it all. So let us know that at the mention of his name, he's the Lord and giver of our life. We better know and understand that what God has ordained in our life, what God has willed for us, he's saying every knee shall bow down and every tongue will profess that in spite of all your problems, people, hear me today, he's Lord of lords and God of God. That's what he's saying about Jesus Christ today. So the Lord or the master for Christ's name is central in this theme today in this text. So the basis of how Paul did that then, he's saying that we need to have that same obedience to Christ. We need to have that same discipline and respect on how we serve God in Christ and through Christ.
And he said, there's an expectation, he said to the Philippians, that I have for you if he's your Savior, Jesus Christ. He's saying that, you know, you got to know how in Christ to serve him. You got to know how in Christ to praise him. You got to know how in and through Christ to worship him. And you're doing it because he's the light of all lights for the world. And as a result of your faithfulness, what he's saying is that others can see the true light of God through you for their own salvation. And that's the opportunity he's trying to give the church today. So Paul is encouraging people to say, if you can just run on a little longer, if you can just hold out a little longer, if you can just have a word or a deed or something nice in spite of what's happening in the government, I don't go there. Have faith in God, who's always delivered in Jesus. He's saying that when you cry out the name of Jesus, there's power. Everybody say power. There's power in the spirit in the name of Jesus. You don't have to fear anything, because what he's saying is Jesus already done it. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. There's something about that name, Jesus, that the 70 disciples took hold of in Luke 10. And they ran with so much joy because they said, when we say your name, even the devils disappear. Have you ever been faced with the devil in front of you and you said, Jesus? And what happened to him? Someone stepped back from you. Have you had things in your life and you had no one else to call a call to, pastor, and you said, Jesus? What happened in terms of healing? I've seen it in hospital beds. I've seen it in maternity wards. What he's saying to every mother, every father out here, the name of Jesus is still powerful. The name of Jesus not only forgives our sins, but Jesus has turned alcoholics and prostitutes and drug addicts around into the service of God. You know what I'm talking about today. And he's just saying that what you need to make sure you do is walk like him. Come on, Shiloh. Talk like him. Be of the same mind like him. If you're confronted like anything, he's saying, look, if you're a Christian and you believe in God, then you can say like the astronomy, God, you've been my son of righteousness. He's saying, if you're a baker, you can say, you've been my living bread, Lord. He's saying, if you're a banker, you can say, you've been my hidden treasure, Lord. If I'm a biologist on my job, I can say, you've been my source of life. If I'm a carpenter, I might say, you built my sure foundation, God. If I'm an educator out here, he's going to tell you, you've been a great teacher for me, Lord. If I'm a farmer, he's saying, you're the sower and the Lord of my harvest. If I'm a geologist, he said, you're the rock of all ages in here today. I don't know about you, but I know it's for me. If I'm a juror on trial, he said, you've been my true witness, Lord, when everybody stands to call me a liar. But most of all, you've been my master. And as your student of the incarnate word, Lord, you've given me rest when I needed peace. As Christians, I don't know about you, but when I hear the mention of his name, I get excited. When I came in here today and saw you on your feet, your heart was being touched by the mention of his name. You don't have to say a lot. We just call the name of Jesus. We've been doing it for a long time, Shiloh. I hope and pray that you do it all week, all day. When you leave here, go out with both hands up and say, Jesus, thank you for today. Jesus, touch my life such that I can touch somebody else's life. Help me to stand for you, Jesus, and be the light of the world. Give yourselves a hand. Say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I thank you for being here. God bless and keep every last one of you. And go out and shake the bushes and say, Jesus, in Burger King, Applebee's, let them call you crazy, but say that the mention of his name is all right with me. God bless you and keep you, Shiloh, until I'll get back to this place again. God bless you. Amen.